102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Amen. Well, we're back with the second hour of Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries here in Clearwater, Florida. We're glad that you've joined us. This is Pastor Jim. I'm the associate pastor. I'm filling in for Pastor Marcia, who's in Texas. Here in the studio with me is Nan Watson.
Hi.
With her, you know, she got these flashing Christmas lights all over her. So.
Hey, it's after Thanksgiving. We can start doing Christmas stuff, you know.
Yeah, she's all Christmassy today. And again, special thanks to Bobby. Yay!
No problem.
Got it right.
Good job.
I know. For doing the engineer work today. It's wonderful because Pastor Marcia normally does that. So if you had joined us in our first hour, we've been talking about the prophecies concerning Jesus and his birth. So I do want to mention, we do have a prayer ministry. I hadn't mentioned that before. It is something we believe in, that God answers prayer. We pray for people, well, at every service, certainly. Right. We pray for people at Bible study. We pray on Sundays. And we have a prayer line, which if you have a prayer request, and it doesn't matter how large, how small, God is concerned about every single detail of your life. So don't think that you're prayer request is insignificant, that it's too small, because it's not. So please send those to us at prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. And one of the people on the prayer team, myself, Betty or Shell, will pick up the prayer request. We'll attach a prayer to the prayer request. Send it out to our prayer team, and our prayer team will pray for you. We have seen many answers to prayer, several, small and large. And when God answers your prayer, this is always what I say, please let us know, because I do keep a record of those. I have a subfolder in, you know, my little Beacon folder, where I keep answers, where we've gotten praise reports. So I love doing that. So it's a faith builder. Plus, it lets us know, you know what? This serves a purpose.
Right.
You know, we're doing what God wants us to do.
And the other thing I'd like to add to that also, if you want to remain anonymous, that's okay. You know, some people don't want to put their name on it. God knows who they are. Mm-hmm. God knows who we're praying for. So that, you know, they don't have to feel like we're trying to get information on them.
Right.
They can just put out the prayer.
And if you feel that prayer and intercession is your calling, we would be more than happy to add you to our prayer list. Again, just let us know. You can send that to prayers at bohmglobal.com. So I want to start off this second hour with kind of a rockin' song by Chris Tomlin, Angels We Have Heard on High.
And the
Yeah, I think that's going to be coming up to sing in church.
A
couple of Sundays, probably.
I think so, too.
I like that one.
I like that one.
So, we've been talking about why did Jesus have to come, and, you know, why did he take on our flesh? Why did he have to do that? And, you know, the simple, obvious answer is because he loved us. But remember, in the garden, the first thing Adam and Eve did when they sinned, they realized, oops, we're naked. You know, they realized that they were naked, and it says they were ashamed. So in their initial innocence was lost. They were ashamed of their bodies. You know, it's like, I got to hide this. And so what did they use to cover themselves?
Big leaves.
Yeah, big old fig leaves. They used that to hide their nakedness. And when God came a-walking in the garden, as apparently was his custom, what did they do?
They ran and hid.
They ran and hid themselves. Don Francisco has an old song called Adam, Where Are You?
I used to play guitar and sing that song at my church.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
That is a cool song. I'll have to see if I can find that. I think I have that somewhere. Is, you know, God calling to Adam, where are you? Where are you? Now, God fully knew where Adam was.
Exactly.
But the whole point was for Adam to realize his own alienation from God. You know, God fully knew that Adam was hiding. But it was so that Adam would understand, look at what you're doing. You're running away from me. You're scared of me all of a sudden. We had all this sweet communion.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, now you're running away and hiding from me. And that is, of course, God confronts them. And like any good human beings, Eve, Adam, you know, God says, well, who told you were naked? Well, the serpent. Well, what'd you do? Well, this, I love it. The woman you gave me gave me this and I ate it. All right, so he's shifting the blame to Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You look, and actually blaming God, the woman you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
All through time, that's been an issue. We've shifted blame for our behaviors. And, of course, then Eve, and she kind of rightly said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And then that's when God curses the serpent. That's when that first prophecy, Genesis 3:15, is spoken. God curses the ground at that point. God curses the woman and the man and Adam. From that point on, death started to take over in their bodies. But God, like I said, had that plan in Genesis 3:15. He knew. He knew what was going to have to happen. And he already planned for it, which is really cool. And, you know, some people like to call Jesus the God man, you know. And I have a maybe it's just me, I have a distaste for that because it makes Jesus sound like he's half God, half man, which is not true. Okay, that is not what the Bible says. Lots of Greek and Roman myths and Egyptian and other Babylonian and such, they had beings who were what called demigods. They were half God, half human. If you've seen Clash of the Titans, the original, because I thought the remake was horrible, just my opinion, the original with Harry Hamlin and Laurence Olivier as Zeus, Perseus in Greek mythology was a demigod. His father was Zeus. He had a mortal mother. So he was like half and half. And so was Hercules. You know, a lot of the heroes in mythology were like half man, half God. But that's not the way it is with Jesus. He is fully God and fully man. So I want to read a couple of scriptures from the first the first chapter of the Gospel of John, and then over in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. And Nan likes to keep track of my favorite scriptures. Well, Nan, these are some of them, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, meaning was Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One translation has everything God was, the Word was. Okay, so he was fully God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, some of my favorites. But the Word, Jesus, was in the beginning. He was with God. He was God. And that the word with there means he was face to face. Because some people like to confuse Jesus and, you know, the Son and the Father. Well, here it says they were face to face with each other. And Jesus, God, and literally in the Greek it says, and God was the Word. There's no way to get around that, that Jesus was fully God. Time does not allow us to go into all the other scriptures that, that teach that in the Bible. But I guarantee you, read through the book of John, there's a bunch in there where Jesus compares himself to the I Am, which was God's designation. That's his name in the Old Testament. So then later on in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word, Jesus, became flesh. And we quoted this earlier, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, no one has ever seen God. The only God, or the only begotten God, who was at the Father's side, he has made him known. Some translations have the only begotten Son, some, and there's a few that have God, the only begotten Son. So Jesus is God in the flesh. But what kind of flesh? I mean, did he just like put on our humanity like somebody puts on a coat, but he's really fully God inside, not quite human? Again, that's not it. One can never explain, I don't think, at least this side of heaven, exactly how Jesus can be fully God and fully man at the same time. I used to think I could explain that. I realized, oh, no, that's way beyond me. You know, but in Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 14, the writer of Hebrews said, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Okay? He had to take on our nature because of that, in order to put death to death. In order to put death to death, he had to become like us in every way, the Bible says. And that's also found in Hebrews. He had to become like us in every way, which means he had a body, he had a soul, and he had a spirit, because that's his nature. So, and in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 14, it says, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we don't have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, we can go to God in confidence because he has been tempted just like us, just exactly like us, and yet he's without sin. I mean, that is just a wonderful thing. Because I, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I can't take my troubles, my temptations, my sins to God because he doesn't understand what, you know, he doesn't understand what happened to me. Well, yes, he does. He's been there. That's the reason Jesus had to become fully human, body, soul, and spirit, so that he could identify with us in every way. If he just took on our flesh, sure, we might have gotten maybe physical healing out of it, but not emotional healing, because he wouldn't have had our nature, our, you know, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. But he did. He had that. And because he had that, we can take everything to him. I think too, sometimes we get afraid to take things to God because we just don't believe that he understands. You know, he's so, oh, I don't know, Nan, what? He's so far removed from us.
Yeah.
And yet, he's not. Not anymore, at least. Because he became like us in every way. You want to comment on that, Nan?
Well, you know, and you've already been saying, you know, he knows how we feel because he's been there. And that's what, so he's the living God for one thing, but that sets him apart from all other types of belief systems mm-hmm. and other, quote, gods, end quote, that people have, as, you know, stone set up somewhere that's their God. You know, he's living, and he knows how we feel because he's been there, that he was fully man and fully God, which is what you have said. And because he was fully man, that's how he can understand how we feel, mm-hmm. you know. And to say that, you know, you're talking about, you know, sometimes we don't, well, I don't think I could take this to God. Well, God knows already whatever you're talking about, okay, just because he knows. And Jesus understands because he's been there and he's done that, you know. And I think that's, you know, that's like, okay, let's use an example. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And that was, she's been free of cancer now for 6 years.
Yay.
That's for sure, yay. But, you know, I was around and I saw, but I couldn't really understand what she went through because I've never been through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand what it's like going for a PET scan every year to check to make sure no cancer cells have shown back up anywhere in her. I don't know what that feels like to go and have that kind of test. She does. I don't understand. But you might take a friend of mine who actually at work had the same thing. She can relate with my mom because she did the surgery. She does the PET scan. Right. And, you know, so she can relate with my mom because of that. And that's the difference. That's what it is with Jesus. He can relate with us because he's walked this earth. He's faced temptations like we face temptations. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and I can identify with that because, well, I've been an HIV case manager for 22 years now. And I remember one of my early clients said, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't have HIV. And I said, you're absolutely right. I don't. And I can't really identify with what you're going through. But this is what I can do. And, you know, I can show as much compassion as I could mm-hmm. on all that. But, yeah, it's true. And yet Jesus identified with all of that. I mean, it says in verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 12, made like us in every respect. Made like us in every respect. Tempted in every way as we are. And that kind of throws me because I've had some pretty nasty temptations. And I just don't like to think of Jesus being tempted that way. Because it's just, ooh, dirty, you know. I'm serious. And, you know, we sometimes don't think, well, was Jesus tempted to do this or to do this? Yes, absolutely he was. He was tempted in every way like we are. He became like us in every respect. Because that way he could be a faithful high priest. He could intercede before the Father and say, yeah, I know what they're going through. I've been there. I've done that. I've seen it. I've felt it. I know what it's like to go through that temptation. And I think one of the bad things about, and most of you know I'm a big church history buff, and one of the bad things about all those councils and all the fighting about Jesus' nature that happened in the 3rd, 4th, 5th centuries is that it made Jesus so far removed from people. I mean, all of a sudden he wasn't, even though in 451 the Council of Chalcedon said he was, yes, fully God, fully man. But it just, all that fighting made him seem so aloof, so far away. And that's when some pretty gross errors came into the church because of that. But yet he's here. He's been with us. He knows what we go through on a daily basis because he's done it too. And that, you know, what a comfort that is. So I'm hoping all this makes sense. And I will say this at this point. If I had one of the guys at church today came up and told me, you make things so clear. Now, I've been told by others I make things very unclear. So that meant a lot to me to have that, to have him say
and
that.
And I think we haven't discussed this and we're not going to, but I think I know who probably said that to you.
Uh-huh.
And for him to be able to say that to you, that's really a truthful statement that he made, because knowing how he looks at things.
Exactly. So I want to go to the song Emmanuel by Amy Grant. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about Jesus being sinless.
We dim the light, we stoke the fire, we breathe the evergreen. Young ones wait while the old ones make up tales of how it used to be. China dolls, candy corn. Treasures found to the wondrous sound of caroling the Savior born to us on Christmas morn. Still he calls.
Amen. I love that song. So, not only was Jesus born of a virgin, he was also born without sin. And how, may you ask, did that happen?
How could that happen?
How could that happen?
How could that happen?
Well, you know, I've heard there had been a teaching that went around through the charismatic circles that, and this angered me. I don't know why it did, but it did. This was years back. That it wasn't Mary's egg that was fertilized in her womb, that God implanted a fertilized egg in there. Yeah, if you can see this, look at the look of consternation on Nan's face. She was perplexed. And I think they did that because they saw all of mankind as sinful, which it is, but there's something that was missed in that, how is sin transmitted? Okay? You know, Adam sinned, and what happened? At that point, the human race began to die. Okay? If you trace the genealogies in the book of Genesis, very slowly, at least until the flood, lifespans kept decreasing. After the flood, they dropped off quite a bit. I mean, they really dropped off after the flood. But death entered the world, and yet it was not through Adam and Eve. I propose, and I'm starting to really sound like Pastor, I propose that it was, sin is transmitted. You've heard the term original sin. I don't know that I believe in the traditional definition of that. Yes, we're born sinners. We're born broken, okay? That cannot be denied. But I do not believe in the total depravity like St. Augustine did, or John Calvin. I just think that's wrong. Anyway, enough of my being theological. In Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 12, this is why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Okay? Just as, in verse 12, just as sin came into the world through who?
One man.
One man. Not one man, one woman. Sin, the sin nature, our fallen nature, is transmitted by the Father. Therefore, Jesus could not have an earthly father. Okay? Proponents of real, how do I want to put it? tough original sin, I guess, for lack of a better word, have a hard time getting around that because they have to do something with Eve, okay? Eve and the mothers don't carry the sin. Somehow it's probably on that Y chromosome that men have. Or maybe it's on the X chromosome. It's because it goes to women too. But they don't transmit it for some reason. Only the fathers transmit the sin nature. It says so right here. In 1 Corinthians 15, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The verse before that, "Since by man came death," by a man came death, "so by a man comes the resurrection." It was through Adam that sin was transmitted. You follow me on this? It's a little theological, and I do apologize for that. But I want to make the point that Mary, A, did not have to be immaculate, because that just was not her nature. She said, "My soul rejoices in God my Savior." He saved her. The child she bore was going to be her Savior. She needed a Savior just as much as any of us do. Because that sin nature is transmitted by the Father. Therefore, Jesus could not have an earthly father. If he did, he would have carried the taint of original sin. And yet he didn't. Okay, this was a whole new order of things. What Adam messed up, I'm really paraphrasing Paul here. What Adam messed up, Jesus made right. That's kind of salvation in a nutshell. What Adam messed up, Jesus made right. We all have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, and that word sin means to miss the mark. It's an archery term. It means you missed the bullseye. All of us on our own have done that. Because of what happened in the garden with Adam, we all, Isaiah says, like sheep have gone our own way. All of us just turned our own way. We went back on God. You know, God provided the law to show us a way to live. And yet none of us could keep the law. Only one person could. And who was that, Nan? Who was the only person that could ever have kept the fullness of the law?
Jesus.
Exactly. Jesus. No one else could do that except Jesus. And he came to fill out the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Most people just really despise the law. I put it in quotation marks if you didn't see that.
I saw those, yeah. He did no quotation
the
marks,
the law,
guys.
And think it's something bad. And yet even Paul says the law is good, the law is holy. And yet the law is what points out our sin. Paul says in Romans 5, even before the law was given, people were still dying. Okay? Because of what happened in the garden. The law points out our sin. Jesus came to fill it out so we don't have to be enslaved to it anymore. I don't have to work for my righteousness. I don't have to work for it. It's a gift from God through Jesus. He himself bore my sins, all of our sins, on the cross. And because of that, we don't have to bear them anymore. There's been an exchange happen. Think back to the garden again. I talked about this morning in church. You know, Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves, trying to hide from God, trying to hide their nakedness from each other and from God. Like he didn't know they were naked, okay? God, after he gives the curses, he does something unusual. It says he clothes them with animal skins. I'm going to guess probably ox or sheep or goat. And I'll tell you why. Because, I'm not good at snapping my fingers, but I don't think God snapped his fingers And suddenly they were clothed with animal skins. Remember what I said happened?
Yes. He took the animals and he took the skin off. He offered a sacrifice.
He sacrificed animals, the innocent for the guilty, in order to get those skins to cover Adam and Eve. So the principle of sacrifice goes as far back as the Garden of Eden. God set that in motion then. It culminated, of course, with Jesus on the cross. For every sin, from Adam's sin to the last sin to be committed, Jesus bore all that on the cross. The only way he could do that was to be a perfect, sinless sacrifice. In the Old Testament, what would happen is, if you had a sacrifice, like the Day of Atonement is a good example. They had the two goats. The one got sacrificed. The other one, the high priest would lay his hands on it and confess over it all the sins of Israel. And that's the goat they set loose in the desert, the scapegoat. So that was the one they set loose in the desert. It would bear the sins away. And yet, what had to happen? Did that only happen once?
No, they did it a lot.
Every year.
It was every year. Okay, yeah. They had to continually do it. You know, Jesus came. He paid the price for us all, and we don't have to do that now like they did before Jesus.
Exactly. Jesus, well, there's that old hymn, Jesus paid it all.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
He paid it all. He paid it forever. That's why in Hebrews it says he's able to save, and I think it's King James this way, he's able to save to the uttermost. You know, save in entirety for now and forever. All those who come to him, because he did pay it all. He paid it from one end of eternity to the other. What a wonderful God we serve.
You know, I've always felt bad for the people who lived before Jesus came because of all the legalistic stuff that they had to do and the rituals that they had to do. And, you know, it was just, you know, people think we do a lot now. We do nothing. We ask Jesus to become our Savior, live in our heart, and we serve him, and we read his word, and we pray, and we praise, and we go to church, and it's fun, you know? And there's a lot of blood and guts going on back then, you know? I feel sorry for those people.
Well, that's true, and that's a good point. In fact, you know me, one of the things I do every year, I read through the synagogue reading. So I go through the first five books of the Bible every year, and I just... We just started over again, so now I'm in Genesis. But, you read through especially Leviticus. For this offering, you have to do this, this, and this. You know, for this type of sin, you do this, this, and this. And, you know, I think we tend to sanitize that in our minds, what it really was like. But the tabernacle and later, of course, the temple was a stinky place. You had animals getting killed, blood getting poured out, and, you know, being cooked on the big altar. I mean, just the stench had to be horrible. And yes, praise God that I don't have to keep offering every day. You know, every time I sin, I don't have to go kill a cow or something. Yeah. Fortunately, Jesus has already done that. It says in Hebrews, I love the book of Hebrews, can you tell?
I can tell.
It's all about Jesus, and just keeps repeating, once for all, an eternal sacrifice, once for all. Once for all, he did it for us. And that's an incredible thing. There are verses in there that, you know, there no longer remains a sacrifice. It's already happened. Jesus is not going to go back to the cross for us. That already happened. So that's just a wonderful thing. Okay, I want to do our last song. It's a new song by Danny Gokey and Natalie Grant. It's on Danny Gokey's new Christmas album. It's called The Prayer. I can't believe it's already 4:45.
I know. Time has flown by today.
I know. I want to read out of Hebrews some of the stuff we've been talking about, just to give you the scriptures for this. Hebrews chapter 9, starting with verse 24. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, so not into an earthly temple, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Verse 25. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he, referring to Jesus, appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting him. So, Jesus took, when he died on the cross, he took his blood after his resurrection. He took that before the Father into the heavenly tabernacle, into the heavenly holy of holies, appeared before the Father, offered his blood, and the Father said, it's enough. Now and forever, it is enough. Scripture says that Jesus lives always to make intercession for us. And that's what he's doing. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, making, interceding for us because of his great love for us. He sacrificed himself so that we could know God. In his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed. This was just before they took him away to appear before the Sanhedrin, to appear before Pontius Pilate, and then to be crucified. This was just before that. He was praying for us. And he said, Father, I pray this, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah, whom you have sent. What an incredible prayer. And he goes on to pray, you know, for the unity of the believers and all that. But his first prayer was that we could know him, the only true God, and Jesus the Messiah, whom he has sent. That's what God wants for all of us today, that we would come to know him, not just in our heads, not just know about God. I mean, I knew about God for a long time. I grew up in a church. You know, I went every Sunday because it was kind of the thing to do. And I knew a lot about God, but I didn't know him. I had no real intimate knowledge of God until one day I surrendered my life to him. And it was a simple transaction. I just said, you know what, Lord? The way I'm going isn't working for me. I need you. I need you to save me. I need you to be the Lord of my life. And that was, 46 years ago. And life has never been dull since. There have been times I wanted desperately to walk away from God. And believe me, I tried. And yet, he always drew me back. He always drew me back. And I wasn't sure why at the time. Now I know. He had a ministry set out for me. But in surrendering to him, yeah, I got my fire insurance in place, you know. Got my fire insurance so that I'm not going to go to hell, but there's so much more. Remember what we talked about earlier. Jesus knows your deepest hurts. He knows your deepest, darkest temptations. He knows what you're going through because he suffered it already. I believe that, you know, Jesus was tempted. It says, Scripture says, in every way like we are, every single temptation to sin, to hate, to worry, temptation to fear. And yet he didn't. He did not, because he depended on the Father. And you know what? That same power is available to us through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit that he gives us. We can live a life free from all that stuff. because Jesus took it all away and traded your old life for a new one. And what I'd like to do right now is just take a moment to pray for our listeners. And maybe you've never made Jesus, maybe you never asked him in. Maybe you just kind of ignored all this in the past. Hopefully, I'm praying that at this point you're saying, well, wait a minute, this kind of makes sense now. Maybe I do need Jesus. So I would really like to just take a few minutes and pray with everyone. And Father, we do come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift up our listening audience. I pray, Lord God, that where there are people hurting out there, that you will just take them and hold them. Father, ease their pain. Ease their hurts. Father, let them know that you love them. And Father, I ask for anyone out there who does not know you. Maybe they've gone to church, but they've never really asked you, Jesus, to be their Savior. They've never asked you to be the Lord of their life. I pray, Lord God, that you would send people to them to tell them about the gospel. I pray, Lord God, that they would make a commitment to you and not just see it as an escape from hell, but as a new life, a new adventure. Father, if there's anyone out there who maybe knows you, but is hungry for a deeper relationship with you. Father, you said that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Father, we just declare that over those people today, that maybe they just need a fresh touch from you. Maybe they need to surrender to you. We ask you, Lord, just to minister to them. Father, I pray that you would minister healing where healing is needed. Lord, that you would minister life where there's death, wholeness where there's brokenness, love where there's hate, faith where there's fear. Father, I just pray a blessing on all of our listeners, that you would move in their lives, that you would bring them, Father, to the fullness of the knowledge of you. Lord, we give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've had fun today.
I know. It's been a great day.
Any final thoughts, Nan?
I'd like to read a poem he just gave me. That'll be my final thought.
Amen.
Take what you've learned today. Apply it to your life, little one. You have learned so much today. Much has been taught about my son. Listen to this show again at least once. So much more you will learn. Look to me with a deep desire. Of my teachings you should yearn. As you move forward with this season, keep solely focused upon me. This time of the year is here so that your life can be set free. My son had to be born so he could later give his life for you.
Amen. I like that.
I like that.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Thank you.
And I've been waiting for a prayer, so praise God. Or for a poem.
I was wondering if there's some shows he doesn't inspire any for, you know, and then some shows he inspires every song. So he saved the best one to the last, I guess.
Uh huh. Okay, good. Well, and just a reminder, just to kind of sum up everything we've talked about, that there is. You know, we talked about the prophecies concerning Jesus, why he had to become a human, why he had to become human without ceasing to be God, how he came to, earth, how he died for us. All that was God's plan, and it's a wonderful thing. I just want everybody just to know that in this season of Christmas, don't leave Jesus in the manger. remember that he rose again, that he went to the cross, that he rose again. And like I quoted out of Hebrews chapter 9, he is coming again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that should be great comfort in the midst of everything, all the craziness. And it's just a shame that Christmas has gotten so crazy. But Jesus is the anchor in the midst of this. And I just want to remind everybody that we are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are meeting at 2058 Weaver Road, Weaver Drive, in Clearwater, right across from the air park. Our service times are 10 a.m. on Sunday and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday night for Bible study.
I would say with Bible study, like many people would be coming straight from work as I do. I bring my dinner and we have tables set up. I put my Bible and my notepad and my dinner.
And our dinner right there.
Yeah, right there.
And it works out very nicely.
Works out very nicely.
We also, as I mentioned at the top of this hour, have the prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Please send your requests in. We will pray for them. We will believe for your miracles. Also, don't forget about Pastor Marcia, well, Mama Mac, and Dr. Angel's show on Thursday, which is Go Yard. As Nan likes to call it, it's free counseling. It's a life coaching show. We encourage everybody to listen to that. And again, Nan and I are so glad to be here. I love being on the radio.
I do too, yes.
Just love it, love it, love it. So this is Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Beacon of Hope Ministries, and Nan Watson signing off. And again, thanks, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
Anytime.
Hey,
thank you.
Appreciate it. So remember, it's not far to Jesus. God bless you all.
He will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for interfering. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From here to Jesus. It's not far.